Bible. Lord Jesus, we love you. As we just sung, we love you because you first loved us. We love you also for all those things that we've just sung about. Oh God, we can never live up to the love that you have given to us. It's the love of Christ that compels us every day. Lord, may the words to that song that we've just sung really be true of us. If ever I love thee, it's now. It's right now. Thank you, Lord. Guide us as we look into your word tonight. Touch our hearts. Speak to us. We need to hear from you. We need your touch. We need your breath upon us. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would you'd breathe upon us and that your breath would blow out the dust in these temples. Clear us out and fill us with your breath. Create new life in us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 John chapter 1, it's a great chapter. I turn here often. It's just a place where I like to be. I want to speak to you tonight on a message that I have titled, It's All Him. It's All Him. The thing that motivates me, the thing that I'm focused on is Him. I don't think that there's anything else that really compares. And often when I read God's word, I find, you know what? I've been concentrating on good things, spiritual things, God promised things, but not Him. For example, I was reading in John chapter 11 a couple of days ago, and I was reminded again when Martha comes to the Lord, and she said, oh, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. And Jesus says, he'll rise again. And she says, I know, Lord, he will rise on that great resurrection day. And Jesus looks at her and he says, Martha, I am the resurrection. And the truth of that, if you think about it, is simply this. All of the events in the Bible and all of the things and the provisions and promises in the Bible are not to be inanimate things or are not to be simply events. They're Him. The resurrection, Jesus corrects, is not an event so much as it is He Himself. Without Him, there is no resurrection. I'm also reminded of what John says in the Revelation. You get to the end of that book in chapter 19, I think it's verse 10. John is told that the spirit, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. In other words, you know what prophecy is? It's not a whole bunch of things happening. It's Jesus. In fact, do we misunderstand the fact that the book, the name of it is Revelation, which means unfolding? And it is not an unfolding of all of these prophetic events so much as the true title of the book is the unfolding or the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's an unfolding of Jesus the Messiah. And all of these events fit into his plan. So, Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, the angel tells Mary and Joseph they're going to have a son. And they're to call his name Jesus, the Hebrew Yeshua. But both of those names, you know what it means? It means salvation. It means salvation. In other words, salvation is Jesus. It's all about him because you can't separate the work that Jesus did from the person who Jesus is. But too often, I think I'm guilty, perhaps you too, of emphasizing the benefits of salvation above the person of salvation. You fall into that trap? You know, I thank God I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven, but it's all because of him. And believers often get excited with songs about going to heaven and escaping this world of tribulation and having their tears wiped away and walking on streets of gold and having their own mansion to live in. But heaven is all about him. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. It's all him. And I begin by saying that salvation is not just a plan, it's a person. It never bothered me before. It's a good little gospel tract, but the title is God's Simple Plan of Salvation. And it is. It's simple. And there is a plan of salvation. But what about God's wonderful person of salvation? Jesus himself said, I am the plan. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Salvation is not just a plan, it's a person. And that person is none other than Jesus himself. Salvation is first about the person and not the plan of salvation. Salvation work that is done for us is only valuable. The only reason the plan of salvation is valuable is because of who the worker is. Who did that work? God himself. And so all the benefits of salvation are the result of who does the work. And it's him. In fact, nothing, absolutely nothing is accomplished without him. And the believer has joy of being able to escape hell and being on their way to heaven. And yet they fail to have joy often in the person of Jesus. And really, that's what heaven's all about. I've heard it said that without the presence of Jesus and without fellowship with Jesus, heaven would be hell. Jesus is what heaven is about. And the benefits of heaven is simply that Jesus is always central there. Did you note in Revelation chapter 22 or 21 rather that it says in heaven there is no need for a temple? You know why? Jesus is the temple. In heaven, there's no need for the sun and the moon. There's no need for light. Why? Because Jesus is the light. Do we get it? Salvation is not just a plan, it's a person. That's the emphasis that I want you to get tonight. It's all him. Second point I want to make, which is perhaps in some ways an overlap of what I just stated, but a different angle. And that's this. Jesus is eternal life. Jesus is eternal life. I've had you turn to chapter 1, and I want you to look at verse 2. Here's John, and he's speaking, and he says, the life he's describing begins in verse 1, and he's talking about the life of Jesus when he was on this earth. He says, that life was manifest. In other words, that life was made apparent to us, was revealed to us. We've seen it. John was a disciple of Jesus. We've seen it. We bear witness. We show unto you, notice the phrase here, that eternal life. That's another name for Jesus here. John calls Jesus that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifest or revealed unto us. Jesus is eternal life. Eternal life is not something that we have. It is someone. And that someone is Jesus. He is the eternal God. And he is called here in 1 John 1:2, that eternal life. In other words, when you believe in Jesus, you have eternal life because you have him. Jesus moves into you and you have salvation. It's not just a matter of you getting to heaven, but it's a matter of Jesus getting into you. And when you receive Jesus by transferring your dependence from yourself or anyone or anything else, you have Jesus and he's eternal life. He's not something that you get. He's someone. And eternal life is not something that you get somewhere down the line in the future, but it's someone that you get right now and you have him forever. Do you view eternal life like that? You should. Salvation is not just a plan, it's a purpose, or rather a person. And also, Jesus is eternal life. My third and final point, simple as this. Salvation is fellowship with a person. In this same first chapter of 1 John, verses 3 and 4, here's what we read. That which we have seen, he's talking about the earthly Jesus, that he was a disciple during the days of Jesus' earthly life and ministry. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also, that's you and me, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, notice this, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Messiah, Jesus Christ. And these things write unto you that your joy may be full. Here's my point, based on especially that third verse. Salvation is fellowship with a person. Again, salvation is not merely a plan. Salvation is not merely a provision that we get. But salvation is fellowship with a person. It's not a mere work. It's a relationship. Salvation is a relationship. And it's a relationship with this person that we call Jesus. It's a love relationship with him. And when you're in a love relationship with him, that's salvation. And there's a fullness of joy, verse 4 says, that is a result of simply being in Jesus and having real fellowship with Jesus. Fellowship with Jesus, it makes you want something. You know what it makes you want? Look with me. It goes on to say in verse 5 through 7, this then is the message which we have heard of him, that one that we touched, that one that was revealed to us, that eternal life, Jesus. And we declare it unto you. Here's the message, that God's light in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him, remember, salvation is fellowship with a person. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If you have fellowship with Jesus, you know what it's going to do? It's going to make you want to be spiritually clean. It's going to make you want to keep right, to keep the relationship right. When you're out of fellowship with Jesus, you don't lose your salvation because, remember, Jesus is salvation. And he himself is the one that keeps us saved. 1 Peter 1, verse 5 says, we are kept by the power of God through faith. He's salvation. He keeps us saved. We don't keep ourselves. Yet, we have to respond and cooperate with him in order to maintain fellowship. Fellowship with him. And to experience thus the joy that fellowship brings, we have to clear away the roadblocks to fellowship. It becomes, the road gets messy in our relationship with the Lord. Sometimes the road gets messy with potholes and obstacles, roadblocks that have to be cleared away. And so if you have fellowship with Jesus, it makes you want to be spiritually clean, to keep the way clear. You know how you do that? He tells us in verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Here's how you do it. Here's how you stay clean. Here's how you keep the relationship right with God. You cooperate with him by owning your sin, by calling sin what it is, by naming it specifically, by identifying it accurately, and by identifying it thoroughly and not trying to cut corners in dealing with it, and by calling sin not only accurately and thoroughly, but also honestly, not shift the blame to other ones or other things. But I think also to keep the way of fellowship clear, to keep in a right relationship with the Lord, you not only have to deal with the sin, but you, in dealing with it, you have to want to be done with it. You don't want to fall into that pothole again. You want to avoid it. You want to avoid it at all costs. In fact, the Bible says that we should desire to forsake our sin, not just to have forgiveness of it, but we should want to forsake it as well. And that's how we cooperate to keep the relationship right with God. We want to be done with it. And then you have to believe what verse 9 says, that if you'll deal with sin, if you'll be honest, if you'll be accurate, if you'll be thorough with sin, confess, if you'll speak the same thing about your sin that God does, if you'll be in agreement with God about your sin, you have to believe what he says he'll do. He promises forgiveness. He promises absolute cleansing. I remember just the other day reading in Hebrews chapter 10, I think it's verse 17, where the Lord says, from Jeremiah's prophecy to Israel, but also applicable to anyone that has come under the spiritual benefits of the new covenant, and that is that their sins and iniquities, I remember no more. It's as if they didn't happen. This is what he's talking about here. I will forgive and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. So, believe God forgives you. He will. Salvation is fellowship with a person, and that person is Jesus. And if you have fellowship with Jesus, it makes you want to be clean, but it also makes you want to communicate. What do I mean by that? It makes you want to share the relationship, the fellowship that you enjoy with Jesus with other people, with lost people, for example, that you will, by your life, communicate, I'm in fellowship with this wonderful person called Jesus. You will, with your lips, make known when the opportunity arises that I have salvation in a person, and I have fellowship with this person, and this person is my Savior. He's Jesus. But not only will you communicate with lost people, you'll communicate with your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You'll communicate with other believers the beauty of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. You will exhort and you will, in a positive way, provoke other believers to love and good works, because the fellowship that you enjoy that brings fullness of joy to you, you want them to experience as well. One of the saddest things is if you're in fellowship with the Lord to see others that are out of fellowship with the Lord. That's very disheartening. You want them to enjoy the Lord. I remember reading about Nikita Khrushchev, who was probably before many of you were born. He was the head of the Soviet Union when I was a little boy. But anyway, Khrushchev used to tell of a time when there was a wave of petty theft in the Soviet Union, like there isn't now. But anyway, he said to curtail it, the authorities put up guards around all the factories. And there was one particular lumber yard in Leningrad, and the guard knew all the workers in the factory very well. And one evening, coming out the door of the lumber yard or the gate, pushing a wheelbarrow with something in it, was Peter Petrovich. And he had a bulky sack in this wheelbarrow and looked very suspicious. And so the guard says, "All right, Petrovich, what do you got in there?" And he said, "Oh, just some sawdust and some shavings." And he said, "Come on, dump it out. I wasn't just born yesterday." And so he dumped it out, and all that came out was sawdust and shavings. And so he allowed him to put it all back and to leave and go home. Well, the same thing happened every day for the whole week. And the guard became so frustrated and finally curious. And he said, "Petrovich, let me ask you something. I know you. Tell me, what in the world are you smuggling out of here? And I'll let you go." He said, "Wheelbarrows." How many people even enjoy the Word of God on a regular basis, and yet they miss the point of the whole Bible? Jesus said to the Pharisees of his day, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have life, and they," the Scriptures, "testify of me." And we read our Bibles day in and day out. I hope you do, on a daily basis. And we miss the point, which is Jesus. We're distracted by all of these events or all of these other things, and we miss him. Believers are justified by Jesus. Believers enjoy the peace of Jesus. Believers stand accepted in Jesus. Believers possess Jesus, who gives them spiritual gifts and spiritual fruit in their lives. All of this in heaven too. But don't let all of this distract you. Distract you from that this is not what it's about. What it is about is not mainly what we get through salvation. What it's about is who is salvation, and that's Jesus. It's all about him, and we need to focus on him. It's all him. Don't be distracted by the sawdust and the shavings and miss the wheelbarrow. Don't miss Jesus. It's all him. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for just the simple reminder that salvation is not just a plan, it's a person, and that Jesus is eternal life, and that fellowship with Jesus is salvation. That's what it's about. And so I pray that although we are so thankful for all the provision, the forgiveness of sin, the escaping of hell, all the other benefits of being a believer, Lord, it's you. And we love you. And as we've just sung a few minutes ago, if ever I love thee, 'tis now. May that be our true theme song, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Take our songbooks with us.